Welcome to Career Tools. This week, empty disk, the magic variable, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what is the magic variable? Why does adaptability matter so much? And how do I adapt? If you didn't make it to last year's M conference, or even if you did and you want a reminder, we have made videos of all the speaker sessions and they're available to watch on our website. The speakers were the top executives from the Manager Tools community across banking, software, aerospace, consulting, a whole bunch of industries, and they covered everything from day-to-day task management to big things like strategic objectives, clients, customers, the future, everything you might want to know. You can choose one video to watch, or you can save if you want to watch all of them. Jumping to being an executive requires a whole different outlook, a whole different perspective on the organization and the world. And you can get it by watching some of our speakers and taking in everything they have to teach. On the website, manager-tools.com, go to products and look for executive outlook videos. Last week, we talked about the two axes on which we look at people's behavior in order to decide how we can adapt our own behavior, that is the magic variable, in order to communicate more effectively with them. And those two things are whether they're task-focused or people-focused, or whether they're assertive and reserved. And we told you to go find out what you are, maybe think about what the people are around you, where they fall on those continuum. And now we're going to tell you what changes you can make in order to communicate more effectively when you find out that you are in a different place on that continuum. So there is a difference between reserved behavior and assertive behavior. There's a difference between people-focused behavior and task-focused behavior. And depending on yours and theirs, you can change your behavior to make the communication more effective. And we're going to divide all of the behaviors into three groups. So we're going to look at verbal behavior, vocal behavior, and visual behavior. And as we go through, we'll explain what those are and how you can be more task-focused, less task-focused, more assertive, less assertive, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So starting with verbal, the verbal part of communication is what people say. There's a difference between the words that people who are task-focused choose to use and the words that people who are people-focused choose to use. So you could be describing the same situation, but if you were people-focused, you're going to use different words, you're going to express those thoughts differently than someone who is task-focused. So the first clue that someone is task-focused is they get straight down to business. Mm-hmm. They get right to it, right? In their mind, getting the work done, getting the task accomplished is what comes first. And then if there's time for chit-chat, that should come after we accomplish what we're trying to accomplish here. Task-focused people often use the word think rather than feel. That's one of the telltale signs between task and people-focused individuals is task-focused individuals will say, I think the team is struggling. Whereas a people-focused individual would say something like, I feel like the team is struggling.
It's the way you get the information. It's the way you sense something, it's different.
Yeah, exactly. So someone who's task-focused, now, you don't want to judge based on one sentence, right? And we're going to release a cast in the near future about getting more data and not just going off of one input or one data point. But everyone has preferences or ways that they process that information. And so you can make judgments based on the aggregate or the preponderance of all of those behaviors, right? So as you're observing behaviors, you need something to look and listen for. And this is one of them, think versus feel. The other thing that I think is an important distinction that would be helpful is as you're listening to someone, if they're using more numbers rather than names, right? Meaning that they're talking about things and tasks and data rather than people. And that's what it comes down to. So an example would be a high C. A high C is reserved and task focused. So they're going to be much more interested if they're recapping a meeting or telling you about a meeting that they went to. They're going to tell you things like how many people were there, what time it started,
what they got done,
what they got done,
what the conclusion was, what you have to do next.
Yep. What was on the agenda, what was covered, what the next actions are exactly, those types of things.
Whereas a people-focused person would come out and say, hey, I saw Joe and I saw Jim and Jim's doing awesome. And that new baby is, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
All about the people, but nothing about what you actually have to do. But you can tell it's part of the continuum I fall on.
Well, and in fact, sometimes you'll have someone in a meeting or someone will prompt someone who's people-focused and ask them something task-focused about what's going to get done or about a project. And they'll say something that's even more people focused. They'll say, oh, well, Joe's on that. Like, Joe's got it, right? As long as Joe's on it, it's all going
to
get done.
And to a task-focused person, that's not an answer.
No.
No.
No. To a task-focused person, it's the opposite. As long as we have the right checklist and we have the right project plan, it doesn't even really matter who's involved.
Exactly.
Because anybody could execute that checklist.
Right? So if you're a people-focused person, and you need to be more task focused. So you have analyzed the person in front of you. You've discovered that they are more task focused than you. To be more task focused, the first thing you have to do is swallow your inclination to ask how they are and to connect before you do the work. Your inclination is to say, hey, and how are you? And to make sure you've asked about their weekend and had a little chit chat before you get down to the work. You can ask, how are you? Because, you know, every conversation starts that way. But,
sure.
But if their answer is fine, then they are already ready to get down to work, even if you're not. So you have to swallow those words. You have to just jump over that piece that you want to do and get straight to the task. It feels rude to you, but it feels efficient to them. And efficiency is something they prize.
Yeah.
Tell them what you think and not what you feel. And they want to know what the evidence is, not how it makes you feel. And that goes along with using numbers as well. So you can't say the stock rose a good bit or the stock market is feeling buoyant,
right,
they say on the news. Those feelings don't have a definition, and it needs to have a definition for a task-focused person. So if you say the stock rose 84%, that is a definition that is specific, and that's what they are looking for. If you say a good bit and then later say 84%, the high C is going to spend the next 15 minutes thinking, how does someone make 84% a good bit? Like trying to do the math in their head, because their calculation of a good bit and your calculation of a good bit is not the same. So just start with the number and you will have their attention rather than losing their attention while they either think about that in their heads or think about it out loud and argue with you that a good bit and 84% are not the same thing.
Yeah. And if you're people focused, you may listen to this and you may tell yourself, well, there's certain things you can't quantify. There's certain things you can't put a number to. But even going back to our example of I think the team is struggling versus I feel like the team is struggling. If you're a people-focused person, your natural inclination is to go, I feel like the team is struggling. And if someone were to tell you, or as we're telling you, put something to that, you're going to say to yourself, well, it's just a feeling that I get from the team. I talk to them. I feel, you know, I get, okay, well, there are things that you can do. You just have to look for them. And your natural inclination is not to look for them. But I could easily, knowing if I'm going into a conversation with a high C or a high D, someone who's task focused, rather than saying, hey, I just get the feeling that the team is struggling, I could go to them and say, I think the team is struggling. 7 people have called out, productivity's down 14%. Right? Those are numbers.
Yes. Or even something more qualitative, like, you know, Joe is always 10 minutes early, and this week he's been on time every day.
Yeah.
It's a change in behavior.
Absolutely.
And it's not wrong. Like, he's still being on time, but there's something, a change that's that change in behavior is odd. And that's the kind of thing that gives you that feeling that something is up with somebody.
Exactly. It's a great point. So people-focused people want to have that human connection before they get down to the task. And if you're task-focused and you skip the pleasantries, they're wondering how you are. They're wondering what's going on, how things have been. They're wondering about picking up the last conversation you had about, you know, your kids or something. And so if you don't exchange those pleasantries, if you don't engage in that chit-chat beforehand, then they're not focused on what you want them to be focused on. Instead, they're worried that something might be wrong, something might be amiss. So people-focused people are the people who want to have that connection and that chit-chat beforehand. And that's going to make them more productive when you get to talking about the task and the work that needs to be done.
And they don't think of people in groups. They think of the individuals, and therefore they call them by name. So they don't say the Spillman family. They would say Andrew and Amanda and Hayes and Lincoln and AJ, because they think of them as individuals. They don't say the development team. They say those people's names. And finally, they experience the world as having an effect on them. The world makes them feel something. And so they will describe the world as making them feel something, or as giving them the feeling, rather than using what they think to impose their will on the world, which is what the task people do.
Yeah, it's a great point.
So if you want to be more people focused, first of all, ask them how they are, how their weekend was, how their vacation was, how their children are, before you get to the work. And again, just like the task-focused people have to do with you, and they have to swallow this part if they want to get straight to the work, you have to be patient and wait for the answers and genuinely listen to them, because you're going to have to remember this for next time. You are going to have to remember that this child was sick, and that next time you're going to have to say, is he better or is she better? So you actually have to listen, make notes if you have to. I do. But you can't pay lip service to this. You can't ask the question and then don't listen and make it obvious that you're just waiting for them to stop talking. That isn't building the relationship. If you're willing to invest in this and willing to invest in doing this behavior in order to get a better relationship, then you have to follow it through. And that means actually listening.
And I think sometimes people who, especially if people have combination profiles, when I talk to folks about doing one-on-ones and taking notes in one-on-ones, when I talk to managers about this, sometimes there's a feeling from a lot of people who say, well, I feel weird about writing someone's kids' names down or spouse's names down. I feel like that, you know, maybe that's, you know, contrary to the spirit of, you know, active listening and trying to remember that stuff. And I go, well, here's the thing. I get it. But if you're a task-focused individual, you should leverage that to a degree, right? Mm-hmm. And there's our, you know, one of our, I think one of the best podcasts we have is Building and Maintaining a Network. And if you're task-focused, sometimes you have to make relationships a little tasky. You have to make, you know, create tasks to, you know, foster the development of your relationship with people. And this is just like that. Writing down someone's significant other's name or children's names, or, you know, where they go to school, or where, you know, the different colleges that they're looking at to go, those types of things, writing them down is not disingenuous. If anything, it's more genuine to say, hey, this is important. I'm going to write it down because I want to remember it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
We got to get over that.
Yeah. And if you really don't want to write it in front of them, write it as soon as you leave the room, because you are going to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
So instead of saying the DevOps team, say Bob and Cheryl and Anne, say their names, and focus on the effect or the feelings of the people involved in the situation rather than the numbers. So you could say Judith's sales fell this month rather than the Northwest sales area fell 9%. Like, the Northwest sales area has no person associated it. It's just a geography, and 9% is a number. It's factual, but there's no humanity to it. Whereas Judith, now we're worried about Judith. What can we do to help her? It's a whole different quality to the way you're describing that situation. In terms of what people say, the verbal component, there is a difference between assertive and reserved. The difference is more subtle. It's harder to see, and it's harder to change. So for now, we're going to leave you with the task focus versus people focus, because it's much easier for you to make that change and get some results from it. And by the time you've got through this one and vocal and visual, you'll be so good at this that you'll be able to do assertive and reserved on your own. Have you ever had a new hire that didn't exactly work out? It's not only that they're not working out, they create more work for you when you were supposed to have less work. If this is the case too often in your organization, you may want to have us bring the effective hiring manager to your team. We focus on effective hiring skills in concert with an organization approach with the purpose of better hires, producing results, and solid retention. We also teach onboarding techniques that span from acceptance all the way through to the first 180 days of employment. We believe there's an organizational responsibility for hiring, not just the HR department or the recruitment department or the talent management department. If you're the manager, you want to have input on that. And we're going to teach you how to do that, what you want to have input on, what you need to do, what you need to ask, and how to decide so that you don't have that moment of, I really wish I hadn't hired this person. Let us work with a group of professionals across your hiring managers, peers, HR, recruiting, and others who can all play a part to ensure you have the right hire. For more details, contact Maggie@manager-tools.com.
The next kind of bucket that we're going to talk about is vocal behavior. So the vocal part of communication is how people say what they say. And the differences here can really be seen between assertive profiles and reserved profiles. So assertive profiles speak more loudly. They speak more quickly than the reserved profiles. And this is a distinction, I think, that sometimes is difficult as you're trying to evaluate other profiles, is there's a little bit of relativity here, right? Because your volume of speech is subjective relative to other people's volume of speech, right? So you've got to think of, you know, not necessarily compared to you or to what you've heard them say in the past, but it's almost like you've got to use all of your experiential data that you have to understand, is this person talking more loudly or more softly? Are they talking more quickly or more slowly? But I'll tell you, assertive folks, assertive profiles, they want to speed the world up, right? So they want it, whether they're assertive and task focused, so high D's, they want to get to the next thing. They want to accomplish the task. They want to get something else across the finish line. High I's are also assertive, but they're people focused. They want to connect faster. They want to get to that connection quicker, right? So they want to speed the world up. They don't even necessarily wait until the other person that they're talking to has finished speaking. Because if they think they understand where the sentence is going, they don't hesitate to jump in, to interrupt, to get to that next point in the conversation or point in the progression of the conversation. And if it speeds the conversation up, they don't mind if you interrupt them. I often have people in sessions who say, well, Andrew, I've got a high D boss, and you say they don't mind being interrupted. I don't know. That hasn't been my experience. And I have to break it to them. That's probably because what you're interrupting them with isn't as important or doesn't move the conversation along as quickly as they would like, and or as what they're saying does. So that's probably why they either, you know, didn't like being interrupted or didn't appreciate that interruption. But if you know that that's why they're speaking so fast and that's why they're getting to the next point, then you can interrupt in a way that makes sense to them. And then they're totally fine with it. In fact, I've had a lot of high D's that high D bosses or high D colleagues that go, oh, yes, good point. Yes. Okay, good. That makes sense. Now we can stop talking about that.
Exactly.
And that's helpful.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So if you want to be more assertive, you don't need to shout, but you can speak with more volume than you normally do, and more volume probably than feels comfortable for you. And you can judge how loud you need to be by how loud the assertive person is being. You are probably thinking this person is too loud, and this person is thinking I am being quite loud enough. So you can be that loud because that's what they think is normal. You can speak more quickly, and you don't need to be precise or say exactly the right thing with an assertive person. They are much more comfortable with you going back and redefining something. They tend to charge ahead without having a plan, and therefore their whole life is about 2/3 of the way time it works out, and 1/3 of the time I have to go back to the beginning and start over. And so they're okay with that. Big picture, small picture, whether that's just reviewing a whole project or just reviewing the sentence they just said, they're okay with having to go back and revise what they said. So you can go faster and be more inaccurate and have to come back and redefine something or be more clear later. So you don't need to go slowly enough to be precise.
And usually those reserved profiles who struggle being more assertive are either task focused. And that lends towards what we're talking about here in terms of you can be less accurate. You can be, get the information out there. And then if you need to clarify or restate, you can do that later. The other side is reserved and people focused. So high S's. The reason they're more reserved and don't jump in there and put less thought into what they're saying is they're worried about hurting someone's feelings, right? And high S's, you're not going to hurt high D's or high I's feelings.
No one has as much feelings as you do.
Yeah. So jump out there. It's totally fine. You say what you're thinking and then you go, oh, wait, that didn't really come out the way that I wanted it to. I actually kind of meant to say it this way. They'll be able to move past it. They'll be able to move on. And in fact, they'll appreciate that you didn't hold that back.
Mm-hmm.
They want get it out. I have high D's all the time that tell me I want my people to disagree with me. Mm-hmm. And I go, yeah, I bet you do. How does that work out for them when they do? Right? And they
exactly.
go, actually, not that bad. I just want to get it out. Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Of the things that are misunderstood, I have to call people and say, I'm sorry, I didn't communicate that properly. And I said something I didn't mean, way more than people call me and say, you misunderstood that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, as a high D, am much more likely to say something that I shouldn't have. Because I say things fast and then I don't think. It's probably easier for you to do those two things in terms of speaking faster, speaking louder, than it is for you to interrupt people. If you have politeness bred into you, it's very difficult to start interrupting people as an adult. It's like taking something from someone and not saying thank you. If you've been slapped every time that you didn't say thank you as a child, you just can't do it. But if you can interrupt someone, go ahead, interrupt the assertive person. They don't think of interruptions as a bad thing. They think of it as helpful because it moves that conversation on. And if they interrupt you back, that's absolutely fine. This conversation is going along on double speed and that's excellent. That's twice as good.
Yep. So in terms of reserved individuals, they are more cautious when they speak. They want to make sure they say the right thing. They want to make sure that they, as we just talked about, protect people's feelings. And they want to take their time and make sure they know what they're going to say before they say it. And in order to ensure they achieve what they were looking for, right? Getting the accurate information across or making sure that they say the right words that don't ruffle feathers. They'll pause when they're looking for the right word, right? They'll pause to find the right word rather than just keep talking and kind of figure it out once they get there, right? More assertive profiles will say 3 or 4 words until they go, oh no, you know what I'm thinking of? This word, right? And reserved profiles will pause, they'll wait. They speak softly and slowly because they're not trying to overcome their environment. They're trying to work within it. Again, I like to tell people reserve profiles are more interested in taking information in and working within the confines of that particular environment. And assertive profiles are quite the opposite. So to be more reserved, lower your volume. So you high D's and high I's, you don't feel like you're talking loud. You think that's the right volume to talk at, but high C's and high S's, your more reserved profiles, they think you're shouting, even when you're talking at your normal volume. Now, you can also limit your interruptions. So stop interrupting. Take a breath when they stop talking. That way you have a little bit of a buffer between when they're done talking and you start talking. Sometimes you'll find they hadn't finished. Maybe they took that pause to find the word and they're not done yet. So you'll have to wait a few more seconds, right? On a good day, you might learn something that you wouldn't have otherwise.
If you really can't hold in the interruption, then saying, "I'm sorry, I interrupted you," is not as good, but it's 75%. If you can get the awareness that you're doing it, even if you can't stop it, and you can start apologizing for it, that gets you somewhere with the more reserved types.
Oh, absolutely.
And Andrew, I'm sorry, I just interrupted you.
So slowing down when you talk is definitely more difficult because most people don't even really think about how quickly they speak. Quick or fast, right? Quick or fast. No, quick or slow is what I meant to say. So quick or slow, most people don't really understand or process how fast they speak. If you've already got lowering your volume and not interrupting mastered, then start trying to slow down. And again, as Wendy mentioned, these are behaviors that not only are you, I would assume that most people listening to this are adults. And so these are ingrained into your day-to-day, we communicate so much, right? So these are ingrained into your behavior every single day. And so it may be such a drastic departure from what you do that slowing down feels like you are taking a lifetime to get a sentence out. And to them, they don't notice it at all. It doesn't feel like that, you know, that long, arduous process that it feels like to you.
It's amazing. I was working on not starting every sentence with "so," which is a habit I have when I was at Toastmasters. And I gave a speech and tried to not start every sentence with "so." And every time I started, I had to have a little pause where in my head I said "so," and then I could say the rest of the sentence, because if I didn't say it, I couldn't hear the rest of the sentence in my head. And when I gave this, it felt like to me like I was doing it every single sentence, and it took forever for that word to go so that I could say the rest of it. And at the feedback I got was, it was really good that you paused between the sentences. It was perfect. We had a chance to keep up with you. And I was like, it's such a different, people have such a different perception from what you have in your head of time, of the way you speak, of the speed and the loudness and all that stuff. What you hear in your head is so different.
Oh, absolutely.
So again, there are differences between people-focused people and task-focused people on the vocal scale, but it's way easier to see the assertive and the reserved behaviors, and it's way easier to change them. So that's why we're just giving you that access for now.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part of this is visual. So that's obviously what we see people doing when they communicate. In this, there are differences which you can see, because it's visual, between the assertive and the reserved styles and between the task-focused and the people-focused styles. So we'll start with assertive and reserved, and then we'll do task-focused and people-focused, because that bit is really easy. So we'll do the difficult bit first.
So assertive styles make more gestures and bigger gestures, larger gestures. So sitting at a conference table, they're more likely to spread out. They're more likely to take up more space with their body or their things than would probably be typical of kind of their share, right? They're going to go outside of their, you know, kind of
like sphere if you think of the arms of their chair as the width of their space on the table, they quite often have their book or their laptop to one side that goes out of that space.
Yeah. And I've noticed often assertive profiles in a conference room or in some, they'll even stand up. It's very outside the norm of what the meeting is or what the environment is, but they'll stand up, they'll pace in the back of the room, they'll, you know, move around. If you see someone doing that, they're probably assertive because they're going outside the conventional norm, right? Mm-hmm. If you notice someone waving their arms, talking with their hands, they're probably more assertive. And if it sticks out to you, there's a good chance that you're more reserved because it's alarming to you. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, what's going on? Assertive styles also make a lot of eye contact. They're more likely to be looking at someone's eyes or face than reserved styles.
Particularly when it's something pointed, it's something mm-hmm. difficult. Whereas a high C or a high S will look away at the difficult parts, mm-hmm. I's and D's will look at you.
Yeah.
So to be more assertive, it is slightly, I think, easier to make more eye contact than it is to suddenly start making bigger gestures, because it's only one behavior as opposed to using your whole body. So instead of looking away or looking down when you think, look up and look at the bridge of the person's nose. And it's weird, but the assertive styles will immediately notice an increase in their connection with you and feel more positive about the interaction, even if you feel more uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They'll feel that level of comfort, or what they'll get from you is that level of confidence in what you're saying, and that goes a long way with them. Yeah, this is sometimes tough. I tell people in groups all the time, if this is a struggle for you, as soon as you feel uncomfortable and start to look away, don't hold eye contact for just a few more seconds, then look away.
Yeah.
So just extending that you're going to be uncomfortable, but it's not going to be weird, because to them, it's weird that you're not making more eye contact. So the reserved styles keep their gestures within height and width of their body. We kind of talk about, you know, like a strike zone, like in mm-hmm. baseball, you've got, you know, kind of chest to waist and shoulder to shoulder. And you've got, you know, in your torso, your gestures, if you're reserved, are typically within that box, we call it. And while someone who's reserved is sitting at a desk or a conference table, they typically keep their belongings neatly arranged within the space of their body, right? They don't want to infringe on other people's space. So on video, if you were watching them, you would see all of their stuff, you know, neatly in front of them. You would see them rarely talking with their hands or moving their arms about. They make a lot less eye contact than assertive profiles. And they look away when they're thinking about what their next sentence is going to be, what their next thought is going to be. So that's what you would see. You would see kind of the opposite.
So to be more reserved is easy, in inverted, I just did those, what do you call them? Air quotes, inverted commas.
Oh, yeah.
Because all you have to do is moderate your gestures and your eye contact. Because reserved styles think of assertive styles as too much, too loud, too talkative, too wild, too close, and too overbearing, and too everything else. So all you have to do is reduce all of those behaviors. You just tone down everything you're doing, and the reserved person will start to feel more comfortable. And it's really hard to tone down everything. So start with something. Start by making less eye contact, or start by trying to keep your arms a little bit closer to your body when you make gestures. That will help them feel less like you're taking up all of the space in the room.
Mm-hmm. The difference between task-focused people and people-focused people visually is easy. Task-focused people smile less. People-focused people smile more. That's it. to adapt to the opposite style from you, you just have to smile more or smile less.
That's the easiest one there is.
So easy.
Yeah. If only smiling more was easy. None of this is easy in the sense of changing your behavior and changing what you do without thinking is difficult. But none of it is complicated in the sense of smiling is something you know how to do. Changing how you communicate in general is difficult because you've had however many years on the planet to build the habits you have. But it is worth the attempt if you want to communicate more successfully. You don't have to be a perfect copy of a high S if you're a high D, or a perfect copy of any of the other styles if you're a different one. You just have to make some effort to communicate more in the way that they prefer. And we found that relatively small changes are very richly rewarded. And when you start to get some of that success, you want more and you're willing to do more.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.